What one tip would you give to a youngster listening who wants to improve their game and who wants to become the next KD Singh?
No. KD Singh is so small,
Oh, he wouldn't do it. Oh, he wouldn't do it. What a shot. Oh, the double, what a pot. Matt McInnes is your new 2019 Clubs New Zealand singles champion.
Hi, I'm Alex Stones and welcome to episode 35 of Inside New Zealand Pool. Now, for those of you that have listened for a while, you'll know that we predominantly cover eight ball. We've also spoken to several nine ball players as well as a billiards player. However, we've never really had a snooker specialist on the show, so it's great to welcome from Auckland, the recent winner of the NZ Open, KD Singh. So, KD, how are you?
Yeah, good. Thank you. Delighted to be with you on the podcast.
Fantastic. And so firstly, congratulations on taking out the NZ Open. I mean, from your perspective, how did that tournament go? How did it progress?
Oh, thank you for that. And the tournament was good, and it was my first tournament playing the NZ Open, and I just previously played one. And lost in the same year, so it was my first visit to Christchurch to go down there and play the tournament. And first, I was nervous in my couple of rounds that I played initially, and after that, getting used to the tables and getting more confidence. And at the last, I did well, I think.
Absolutely, and just looking at how the tournament progressed, I mean, you really didn't get any easy matches. I think in the last 16, you had Baden Jackson, who's currently nationally ranked ninth, and he's a former national snooker as well as national eight ball champion. Then in the quarterfinals, you had Steve Robertson, who's ranked 10th nationally, Danny Ryan, semis, he's ranked 12th. And then you had Deepak Bala in the final, who I believe he's ranked just ahead of you in the rankings. He's currently in second place. So it's no easy matches by the looks of things.
Oh, yes. Yeah. When I started in the last 16, when I met Baden, and of course, he's a brilliant player. He's very good when he's on the table, and his confidence is very good when he's playing the shots. But I played him before twice, and I just carried on because he's an attacker. When he's on the table, he likes to attack, you know, and I was just keep defending it and making some safeties. And I think that was probably my best shot to give, just to make him safe. And he was getting a bit nervous after the second or third frame. And then, eventually, I got it. And with the Steve, he's a experienced player, I think. He's one of the most experienced players in the tournament. And he always plays with a lot of confidence. He's never afraid of anything. He's never frightened, even though you are coming from overseas or whatever. Last tournament he played with the overseas, he beat Australian number 4, I remember, in the NZ Open. And he was a semi-finalist as well. And that was a tough match. And I required a snooker in the last frame when we had a decider. So, it was just my confidence. I just overcome with that frame and got that match at the end. And, it was good. And Danny Ryan, I saw him first time, met him first time in the tournament. And he was very good with his pool cue. And I was so surprised, a player playing with the pool cue. And he was banging each and every shot when he's getting on the table. And I was trying to save him a lot. And when the things comes to 2-all, 3-all, and then I kind of get my momentum and did pretty well in the last two frames to get the match. So and Deepak, he's one of my best friends from the club, and we play with each other every day, maybe twice a week. And I met him so many times in the tournaments. He beat me in the Havelock North, where we played on the Havelock North Open. We met in the finals, and he beat me there. And after that, I met him in Papakura Open, where I beat him in the semis. And then we met again in the finals of NZ Open. So yeah, he's phenomenal. He's very good. But you know, I think I just played well on my day. It was my day, so I just played what I can do and gave my best shot. And yeah, in the end, the game was in my favor. So that was good. Yeah, awesome experience.
And just to give perhaps people who aren't too familiar with the New Zealand snooker scene, am I right in saying that the NZ Open would be considered the second most prestigious tournament of the year after the Nationals? Is that correct?
Yeah, yes, Alex. Like the biggest tournament is NZ Nationals, one of the biggest tournaments in the whole year. And it is like in the next couple of weeks. And NZ Open is the second biggest tournament in the New Zealand. So in that tournament, the difference between both the tournaments is in NZ Open, like the players can actually come from overseas. Like anyone can join there and play the tournament. And in the NZ Nationals, it's the tournament within the New Zealand Nationals. So yeah, it is one of the second biggest tournament.
So I guess going back a few years, when did you first become involved in Q Sports? How long have you been playing for?
I just joined when I was 12, and I started playing snooker. And I started with a pool, actually. So I learned on a small table, and then slowly, I just joined one of the clubs, and they have just got the snooker tables. And from there, there were some professionals already playing in there in the club. So they saw my game. I was just training by myself sometimes if someone don't want to play with me. And I was like just a beginner, and I was just keep progressing each and every day. And they used to teach me some of the good stuff, like just as a side coaching, you know. And and I compete the first time in my own district, in my own city. And for the first time, I won it in the first time, and I just playing snooker. And yeah, so at the age of 13, I got my first tournament.
How popular are Q Sports in India?
Oh, it's pretty big. It's massive. Like when you play the Nationals, for example, like the people are coming from all over the states. And you can imagine it was like the field of, like the first time when I played the Nationals, it was like the field of 400 people. And it's a 28 days tournament, they give us the times as well as the dates as well as the table number. So what day, what time, what table you're playing on. So we have to carry on with the schedule, and we have to be on the table like spot on. Like even if you're late for like 1 minute, they are so strict, they just pull you out. And it's massive there.
And I believe billiards are quite popular, pocket billiards and three cushion billiards. Are they quite popular compared to snooker as well?
As far as billiards is concerned, it's we got a couple of players. They are from like one of the players you might have heard their name is Geet Sethi. He's like 13 times the world champion in billiards. And the other one is Pankaj Advani. And he's still playing. Sometimes he comes for snooker tournaments as well in the professionals, and he's like now 18 times world champion, if I'm not wrong. And also he has got the second most biggest record of making 1176 points by himself playing alone in billiards in 1.5 hour. So we have got pretty good, like other billiards players as well, like Saurav Kothari and Geet Sethi, Pankaj Advani, Bhuvneshwar. Like there are quite a few players. Like in the south, there are a few.
And do you want to just talk us through some of your tournament results, some of your successes during your time in India?
Oh yes, in India, like what they actually do, like if you have won in your city, then you are actually eligible to play in the state championships. If you are state number one, then you are eligible to play in the Nationals. So I won my first tournament, as I said before, in my city. And then I just put my entries for my state championships. So I was like three times state winner, three in a row. And then I played after my first state championship that I won, I was qualified to play in the nationals. And my first tournament was in Agra, and where the Taj Mahal is quite famous. You might have heard about it. And I played there. And my first attempt I made, I was in the like quarterfinals. I lost in quarterfinals. And after that, because I wasn't having any experience with the tables, because those tables are quite good. Like, you know, those are the star tables, the finishes, the finish of the table, and also the cushions, steel cushions, and everything was so good. So it takes time a bit to get used to the tables. So that was my first attempt. And after that, I won my second national title, like the first national title, my second attempt. And then I was qualified to actually get a sponsorship. So any player who's actually getting national titles, they are also getting the sponsorship from the government. And that sponsorship lasts for 1 year. So you have to be consistent. If you have to keep getting your sponsorship, you have to perform every year. So you have to be consistent. You can't actually claim the sponsorship for the second year if you haven't did well in the second year. So you have to be quite consistent. So I got my first sponsorship and with the ONGC, Oil and Natural Gas Petroleum, and Corporation, sorry. And after that, I played third nationals, and I was qualified for the World Under 21 World Championship in Canada. And there was a point when I have to choose either like to go for the World Championship and or to stay with my studies and do my graduation or do my, I was so young at that time, so I have to stick with my studies. And yeah, so I drop out. So, and I couldn't actually go into the Worlds. And yeah, but my other mates, they had second and third positions. So they were actually announced to go there and perform. So yeah, I missed out that year. And also like my coach, at that time, he wasn't well, so I couldn't get any coaching, and I was so underconfident. And yeah, so that was my last year in India. And after that, I migrated to New Zealand here and did my graduation. And yeah, so that was my journey.
I mean, considering the size of India, and I think what it's about 1.5 billion people, I believe the best result to date from a professional snooker point of view, you mentioned Pankaj Avani. I believe he made it to the quarterfinals of the 2013 Welsh Open, which is the best performance by an Indian player to date in a world ranking event. Why do you think we haven't perhaps seen any, I guess, sort of world-class Indian snooker players in the professional game? Like I said, considering the size of the population and the popularity of the sport as well.
Alex, this where the drawback is, like people are still very confused when they see Pankaj Advani or they see Gi Sethi, they are the world champions in billiards. So what they actually can't choose if they want to go with the billiards, so they can have actually good coaching from the biggest players or the advice or to follow them as an idol. And on the other hand, because there are a lot of players in the North India who are following snooker, but the success is so far from them. And the only reason is they are following both. And I've seen like most of the players who are actually, if you see now as well, and if you go on the website and search for the Indian players, they are playing on the both sides. A snooker player is playing the billiards as well, and the billiards player is playing snooker as well. So it's still mixed up. And but there are a few players like who actually go and play the world professionals. But the thing is, the qualifying rounds, they are like so hard actually to qualify and get your position with the seated players in the professional tours. And but I would say if they can actually become a world champions in the billiards, so they have actually the ability to get the snooker as well. But yeah, there are so many players, they are still confused. I don't know what they're doing.
So moving over to New Zealand, what were your initial thoughts on the New Zealand Q Sports scene?
When I actually did my graduation, I completed my studies. Then I actually went online because I want to play, you know, like I was so behind with my snooker. So I want to go and play. And I searched online, got the NZBSA, and I inquired about the snooker tournaments, put my entry in and got there. And what I've seen there, like so many players, like back in 2016, I saw so many players from New Zealand. They were still playing and the field was like massive, like at least 50 players turning up for the tournament. Every tournament, that was consistent at that time. And suddenly after a couple of years, they start dropping the numbers and the prize money was not impressive. And there was another reason, like snooker is a bit dying in at this stage. And I played my first tournament and I lost in the quarters. And I met Dean O'Kane, one of the biggest players in New Zealand. And I saw him a couple of times in India as well. And he usually come over for the World Professional Invitational Tournaments. And I saw him and I was so glad I met him. And that was his last year. He actually appeared for the tournament. And yeah, there was this. There was a good tournament at the starting. And after that, they just slowly the numbers are going down. And then I was actually disheartened and didn't actually appear for another couple of years to play the tournaments because the numbers were so less and also the prize money was so. It's not very impressive. So there was other reason I didn't actually appear for the tournaments in the next couple of years.
So just following on from your comment about perhaps dwindling entry numbers and I guess subsequently smaller prize funds within some of these snooker tournaments, do you think that there's perhaps an issue when it comes to attracting younger players to snooker? You know, say for example, if you look at the clubs New Zealand pool tournaments, you know, they've typically got you know, quite a lively atmosphere, you know, I guess it's typically quite good banter, and there's certainly a much more relaxed dress code, and you know, compared to snooker where you've got to wear a waistcoat and what have you. I mean, do you think that the snooker need to try and alter its image and the way it does things in order to attract the younger players back and to attract the numbers back into the snooker tournaments?
Good question, Alex. And there was the main reason, like the snooker is not a lively sport at the moment. And I would say like a couple of years back. And the reason for that is the pool, they are doing quite good. It's just because they've got the environment. They've got the best tables, what they actually use in the worlds. And they have got best cues and available equipments and everything. And whereas snooker, they don't even have any tables in the whole New Zealand, world-class tables. And that was the first reason I would say, like, that is the most effective. And the other reason is the players, they are not actually getting enough funding, or if they are coming from far, like, for example, if they're coming, someone is coming from South Island to play the tournament in North Island, if they... the expenses are more, and the prize money and the sponsorships, they are quite less. So that is the reason, like they have to compare those things when they actually turn up for the tournament. And the third reason is they haven't got any idols. So they actually look up to someone who's actually doing well in snooker. Before, there used to be like Dean O'Kane, I remember, he used to go overseas. And after that, many of the players, they actually stopped playing. It's just because of the environment and no good tables to play on. And yeah, so many other reasons for not going to the Worlds because of less funding. And those are a few like reasons, like people, they're not actually playing these days a lot of snooker.
So from what I gather, you don't tend to see too many big century breaks in New Zealand. I mean, what would you put that down to? Is it a skill issue, or is it something to do with the conditions of the table, which you've mentioned a couple of times?
Yes, definitely. It's just the conditions of the tables. Like if you see, like any professional player, if he's playing on a good table, like the way they're playing, they're putting the less efforts, you know. And when they're playing on a like not a very good table, you have to force your hands, like you have to force, like play with some power. And those are the issues where you actually your skills are not really working well. So you have to push a bit hard. And that are the reasons you can't actually make a lot of big breaks. But I would definitely say there are so many good players around the country. And the only thing is we haven't got the conditions and we can't actually attract them. And as compared to like Paul, where they are doing very well, like is Matthew Edwards, he's doing quite well and representing New Zealand all around the world, appearing for the tournaments, going out and helping other people to actually come along with him to play the world tournaments. And yes, so it's definitely the conditions of the tables and the environment we are getting is not actually good enough to actually, you keep yourself well and keep up your spirit like to, you know. So yeah, that's a big reason for that.
And so what are some of the tournaments that you've won since you've been in New Zealand?
Oh, actually, I did remember I won the first tournament I won. It was like, if I'm not wrong, in 2016, and that was Auckland City Open. And after that, I was like more concerned about my studies, and that was my last year for my graduation, so I was just there. And after that, I appeared for the tournament. It was like last year when I started. Like I started with the proper like coaching and one of my coach. And but they were just dealing with me like just online. They sent me an email for my practices and everything. And I was so keen and I was so much into the snooker in the last year when I graduated. And the first tournament I won, it was like Barton McGill in 2019. And after that was Papakura Open 2019, and then PK Showers, one of the tournaments sponsored by Paul Basin. I won that one. And another one was Outer Limits Papakura 2019. And the last tournament that I won, it was Auckland Piers. So I partner with one of my friends, Vinesh Prasad, and that was the last tournament in the last year we won. And yeah, in the starting of this year, like the first tournament we played, it was like just a couple of months back because of the COVID, everything was shut down. So there were no tournaments hosted. So, and the first tournament was again Barton McGill 2020 that I won. And then after that, I won Papakura Open again 2020. And the biggest tournament was NZ Open recently that I won in Christchurch. And I also went for another tournament after coming back from Christchurch. And I just want to, it was nothing on for that weekend. So I just went to play some pool. There was a pool tournament. And I'm not very good with the rules, with the pool. So I just, someone asked me to play in the tournament and I said, okay, just put my entry in and just, I just got Saturday off. So I was thought like just to go and play in pool. And that was my lucky day. I made it final and I lost in the finals from Brad Campbell. And he's one of the biggest, big names in pool. I realized like they told me afterwards and he's one of the good national players. And he's from Christchurch, and I was so glad to play with him. And he was really good on the table. And yeah, he's a good lad. Yeah, so I lost to him in the finals, and there was my last achievement here.
Yeah, glad to hear you getting involved in some of the club's New Zealand tournaments. I'd imagine, like you say, if you're not used to the rules, they are pretty unique in terms of not being able to snooker your opponent.
Yeah.
So what are your thoughts on the state of the professional game? On the one hand, you've got Barry Hearn and Matchroom. They've increased the number of professional tournaments. They've increased the prize money. On the other hand, you've got Ronnie O'Sullivan, who always likes a bit of a moan, but you know, he's saying the problem at the moment is that there's no youngsters coming through, and it's essentially the likes of himself, John Higgins, and Mark Williams, who are still dominating the game. And you know, these guys have essentially been around since the 1990s. I mean, what are your thoughts on where the professional game sits at the moment?
As far as the professionals, the players are concerned in the tournaments, and they are, like, when you go for competition, like, you have to, the first thing is you have to actually had a good practice on the same tables if you're preparing for the tournaments, and you have to have the time to actually get coached properly and prepare yourself at the best as you can. And when you go for the tournaments, Ronnie O'Sullivan, the big names, Mark Williams, as you said, even though you're playing well and you're competing with, when you're competing with those guys, you can't actually, like, you know, it's in your head all the time, like, those are the best players in the world, so you can't beat them, you know? So those are the things, it's always messing around in your head, and you're not feeling so very confident, even though you're, like, some of the shots are so good, you're playing from the qualifying rounds coming up to play with them, and yeah, they actually said, right, like, they're not so many young players actually coming up, apart from China, I would say. I've seen a couple of young players, not a couple, like very few players coming from the China these years, like Yu Long, if I'm not wrong, and Ben Ying Tao, and Thap Chayanu from Thailand, and those are the upcoming players, like, they're playing the professional circuit right now. And to keep up with those standards, you obviously need the same conditions, you know, like what you get in the worlds when you play on those tables. And especially you need the coaching, and you have to be in the game like at least 5 or 6 hours a day. And not the least, you have to have enough funds to support yourself, to buy yourself good equipment, good cues, and everything up to the best. So if you want to compete at that level, yeah.
And speaking of equipment, I believe that you've endorsed the Straight Aim product. Is that something that you would strongly recommend to players looking to improve?
Yes, definitely. Win State, he's one of my best friends, and he come up with a good plan, with a good straight aim equipment, and that is so handy. That is actually so good for the beginners. And even though you are not playing at a national level, it's still good for you to get back to the basics and actually start from the scratch, like if you're making mistakes. And if you don't have any coach, you can actually still rely on the straight aim to actually keep you straight with your arm and with your cue action, with your stance, with your stamina, I would say. And so this is one of the best products in the market I've ever seen. And that was good initiative. Yeah, definitely.
What one tip would you give to a youngster listening who wants to improve their game and who wants to become the next KD Singh?
KD Singh is so small, like now I would definitely say, like, you have to practice a lot, you have to give something to actually gain something. So it's always your practice, it's always your hard work, and it's always your patience. So never lose your patience and never lose your hopes when it comes to, like, you're losing or you're not getting too much out of it. Never disheartened, and that is your hard work. You're gonna come over sometime, and you perform well, and you reap the fruits. Yeah. So.
Well, that's pretty much it, KD. So thank you very much for your time. What's on the calendar for you during the next few months? What else have you got coming up?
So we got this week a club singles tournament. So it is just your own club tournament, and after that. We got New Zealand Nationals is coming up in Auckland this year, so in Papakura. And after that, we got Waikato Open. So that is the last tournament of the year. So we got like 3 or 4 tournaments still in the queue, and so many tournaments coming up this year at the last because of the COVID. So yeah, it's 3 or 4 tournaments on the calendar this year.
I'd say that's something that the snooker scene in New Zealand has definitely got the upper hand over the pool scene in New Zealand, because with regards to eight ball pool, we've seen the South Islands were cancelled with no plans to reschedule for this year. Same with the North Islands and also with the Nationals as well. Essentially, everything is just being pushed back to 2021. So the pool calendar has just been completely decimated. But that's great that you guys in the snooker community, you've just been able to push everything to the back of the year. So essentially you've got, what, three or four really big tournaments in the space of just a couple, 2 or 3 months.
Oh, yes. Yeah. I think the NZBSA, they are doing as lot as they can from their ends. Dan O'Sullivan and especially Dave Judd, they are pushing the things. So actually we have some more games and we have some more experience. And so actually if you go and overseas next year, so you should be playing and you have the feel of the tables still. So yeah, so this good initiative. Like they're still doing their best, like whatever they can, they're actually doing it.
Fantastic. All right, Katie, thank you very much for your time and all the best for the coming months.
Oh, thank you so much, Alex. And thank you so much for having me on the podcast. And it was lovely talking to you. Thank you.